What I told the kids about this being the baptism of our Lord that Sunday, it really is not a spectacular event, really, in the life of the church. On Friday evening, we gathered as ministers in the area to have our Epiphany party. Ministers just love to have Epiphany parties. Anyway, we also exchange awful gifts that you'd like to get rid of, and somebody has to draw, and they open the box, and of course, I had this thing that I don't know why anybody would ever give it as a gift. I was going to bring it and give it away to somebody here, but I don't like anybody that much. So anyway, at the Epiphany party, then there's some also, one of the good things is side conversations that you're having. And of course, ministers like to talk about all kinds of things, you know, vitally important to the kingdom. Where'd you get your tie? No. And we were there, and we missed Ella and Jack because they marked the wrong date on their calendar. So they didn't have to put up with any kind of a really rotten gifts this year, you know. I know, but that's next year then. Okay. Anyway, we had a good time talking. And one of the things that we talked about really was this particular Sunday, the baptism of Christ, and what are you going to be doing? And, of course, I gave one of my proverbial smart-aleck answers. I said, I have a water gun. I'm going to shoot each member of the congregation. No, I'm not going to do that. I said, we're going to have sort of a renewal. And I said, I've used oil and I've used a gel. And I said, the gel that I have is from the Balm of Gilead. And I said, I'm going to have a renewal and we're going to do it. You're going to do that in worship. And I said, we've done it for the last number of years, if I can remember correctly. And I said, it's meaningful for me, and it's meaningful, I hope, for the folks who come up and have a dab of something on their forehead like Ash Wednesday. As a reminder that we are baptized into the body of Christ, and as people baptized into the body of Christ, we have responsibilities. We really do. We have commitments that we make, and commitments to fulfill as disciples. We are the disciples here. You are the body of Christ. I said, that's what I'm going to be doing. Well, that's interesting, the one minister told me. He said, send me your bulletin and where I can get some of that ointment. I said, you could also use Vaseline and nobody would know the difference. But no, I don't want to do that. And we weren't joking anymore. Presbyterians right now are going through a rebirth nationally and internationally, I assume, because it also affects missions. We're trying to find ways that we can make more authentic the Word of God and to make church not just church, but making it something more meaningful for your soul and for your life. And as I like to say, we're regaining a sense of the mystical, which Christianity is loaded with, and sometimes we forget because we get so absorbed in stuff and issues that we forget that the mystical quality, that touch of the Spirit, is one of the most vital parts of our faith. Growing in it, nurturing in it, and sharing it. And it's something that I think is vital in our time and certainly in our age. And certainly for our world, which really needs this in a desperate way. So, if you'll open your Bibles, we're going to talk about daily grace, but we're also going to be talking about our baptism. And how that baptism that we engaged in as a baby quite often, that we don't remember real well, but that we are always being in the Spirit. The good news in this lesson really is that we are all saints and sinners. I was reminded of that this morning when I was looking over everything before we came to church. We are saints and sinners. That's it. The Gospel of Luke, the 3rd chapter, reading verses 15 through 17, and then verses 21 and 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John, the Baptist, might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now the Holy Spirit really, in a sense here, refreshes us over and over again through our life, that we can entertain the thought that we've been saved in Jesus Christ. That's fact. In baptism, we were expected, even as an infant, and to continue as an adult, to live in a new way, in a new relationship with God toward other people. We're supposed to be different than we were before we started. And we're supposed to be different because we've agreed to help that infant grow in the ways of Christ. Now, sometimes we fall short of doing this, but that's the way it goes in this human cacophony of life that we have. Our identities as sinful human beings are changed, and we're given a new identity as a child of God. We say when we baptize, we agree when we baptize, that we're going to be with the parents when we baptize. And we forget that the impact of that really is to us, who are already baptized and growing in Christ. Are we growing the way we should? This makes all the difference in the world, you see. You see, because God does this for us. Because God does something like this for us, good grief, we're free. Do you realize that when we baptize that baby, when you grow from babyhood into adulthood to where you are now, you're still free. You're free to do whatever you want with your life, to do whatever you think is right or wrong. You're free. You're free enough to want to please God and not argue about it. No big deal. God declares once and for all that we are free beings because of Jesus Christ. We're free from worrying about sin. We're free about worrying about our mistakes. But we're challenged also in that freedom to want to be a better person because of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, we really enjoyed visiting Wittenberg last year. And you know, when they're talking about the 500th anniversary of his nailing thesis on the door and all this bit about the Protestant Reformation, it was already underway long before Luther. There were reformers who were cooked in the town square because they were not agreeing with the Pope, but that's not anything to go any further. But Martin Luther encouraged Christians to remember their baptism daily. They should get up in the morning, he said, and fall on their knees and say, "Thank you, God, for bringing me into your body." And then he went on to say, "What does baptism mean for daily living?" And he said, "I'll tell you this. It means our sinful self, with all of its evil deeds and all of its desires, should be drowned through daily repentance. And that day after day, a new self should arise to live with God in righteousness and purity." According to Luther, he went on to reference by quoting Romans 6, verse 4, "Therefore we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life." He said it's a good daily reminder for all of us, because this is good news, and it's good news. Indeed, it is good news. If we take it to heart, this is the promise we claim first in our baptism and then proclaim at our funerals. We do this with the same scripture because we become baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. We can confess sin, we can receive forgiveness, but we can also receive hope. Hope in a new life, not just for a moment, but for all of our eternity. That's the most wonderful gift that we can receive. And one of the most wonderful lessons that we can hear in this lesson, this little bit of a lesson from Luke. The lesson is that we've all been encouraged to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it says, that you're going to have the Holy Spirit given to you, given to us, in a new and an exciting and a vibrant way, and sometimes we forget it. We do. I do. I do. The daily grace that we want begins at baptism. The daily grace that we need has been given to us in baptism. And the daily grace that comes to us when we renew those vows of being one with Christ. I would invite those who wish to come to the front and join me as the balm of Gilead marks my head as I try to remember my baptism into Jesus Christ. Come if you're able.